chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. We'll read several verses. I won't preach all of them, but we'll read several. Luke chapter number 2, we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." If you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, I'd like you to underline that last verse there, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'd like to preach on this subject, keep and ponder. Keep and ponder. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, and thank you again for this service and the time we have together. And Lord, I pray that just as you've spoken to my heart through the songs, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts through the preaching of thy word. And God, I pray that that you will guide my thoughts and my heart. And Lord, I pray that I'll say only the things that you would have me to say. And I pray that that again, Lord, that you will speak to hearts. And Lord, let us leave this place knowing that we've been with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a mother, especially, then you know what Mary was going through right now. You know what she was doing. Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. When you have children, you keep a lot of stuff, right? You keep a lot of stuff. You go out, hopefully you have a shower, a baby shower before, and maybe you get a little baby book or something like that, and it's pink if it's a girl and blue if it's a boy. And you put the boys or the girls, whatever, you put all their vital statistics in there, height, weight, all of it, length, girth, not really the girth, I'm just kidding, what color their eyes are, all of that stuff. You put all of it in that little book and you keep it. And then you put the, maybe the little footprints, you know how you get the little baby footprints on a little towel in the hospital or something like that. You put all that in this little book. Maybe you keep the box in a big box, I don't know, depending on how much stuff you have. You keep the first outfit, the first lock of hair that you cut. You mothers know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not talking crazy, am I? I mean, you know, you keep everything. And it doesn't matter how many kids you have. You've got a box for each kid. Sometimes you've got a big chest for each kid. It depends. But you keep everything. And I wonder what Mary kept. I wonder what she kept. I wonder about the swaddling clothes, you know. Did she hand those down to the rest of the family? Mary was a real person, wasn't she? I mean, you know, when we think about the Christmas story, we think sometimes, oh, well, you know, Mary and Joseph and the baby, and we don't realize, at least I don't, I have to force myself to think these are real people. And she may have been a young virgin, young lady. She may have just given birth to the Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, but she was still a mother. And she still kept all those things, right? She still kept them. She was still a mother. She was still a mother. Write down when they say their first word. All my kids' first word was dada. Not because they love their daddy so much, but because that's easier to say than mama, apparently. Dada. My mom says my first sentence was, "Mama, I'm hungry." And I am still hungry. And we write all that stuff down. Mary was no different than us. She was no different than us. And then the time right after the baby. Our first baby was born in Tennessee. And it got to be close to the due date, and the doctor said, "Do you want to just go ahead and be induced?" And we said, "Yes." And we called my mom and dad. We called my in-laws, and everybody was in Tennessee when the baby was born, and everybody was at our house, just about. I think maybe my mom and dad stayed in a hotel, but for the most part, everybody was in and around our house, and it was a trailer about as big as this platform, and there were a ton of people there, and we had never had a baby before. And there was no time for anything. I mean, everybody, and you know, you see the baby and you want to hold the baby, right? If you ladies see a baby, you want to hold the baby. And men, we want to see, you see a little baby, you want to hold the baby. So everybody's holding the baby. Everybody wants to do this. And you don't have time. You're getting ready for everything. You're getting the nursery ready. You're getting everything. You're the visitors at the hospital. Then you get home and you have visitors at home and everybody wants to see the baby. And then finally, after everybody gets to hold the baby 100 times, and after everybody goes back to their house in Florida or in Tennessee or in West Virginia or wherever, not your house, as long as they're gone, then finally you have time to sit back and hold that baby and just, right? You mothers know what I'm talking about, right? Just breathe. Mary had just gone through a lot, hadn't she? Finally, in verse 19, she had time to sit back and ponder some things. Ponder. Now, if you'll let me, I'm going to use my imagination a little bit. And it's not in the Bible. But I just wonder if she sat back. By the way, before we go into that, ponder. The word ponder means to confer with yourself. To think out loud. You kind of talk it over. You get it straight in your head. Think it over. Think it over. And she was thinking all these things over. She had a lot to think about. But if you'll let me use my imagination a little bit this morning, it's not going to be the usual kind of a sermon that I preach, but if you'll let me, just think about this with me. Maybe Mary sat back and held the baby. Don't forget to support the head. Their head just flops, you know. Maybe she sat back like this and held the baby. I don't know if they had a rocking chair, but maybe she was rocking, holding that baby. Think about that. I'm thinking about the first time I held my babies. Rocking back and forth, holding that little baby. Sitting there. And we all talk to babies a little funny, don't we? "You're a cute little baby." "Yes, you are." Talk like that to them. Grown men. Get goofy. Some of us are goofy anyway. We get worse with babies. Hold that baby. And Mary held that baby. She's a real person. Sitting there holding that baby. Maybe. Rocking. Or maybe just sitting, maybe sitting on the hay next to the animals in the stable, just holding that baby. And she takes a deep breath, and she starts to think about some things. Starts to think about some things that have just happened, things that have gone on. Maybe she thought about her cousin Elizabeth. You know, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, they were cousins. And Mary had even gone and visited Elizabeth when she was expecting John the Baptist. I don't know if she didn't call him John the Baptist, I'm sure, waiting for John to be born. And you know, I'm sure that Elizabeth and Mary talked about the story behind the conception and all of that of John and how Zacharias, and it was his turn to go in and minister in the temple. And he went in and he was in there a long time. And while he was in there, an angel appeared and said, "You're going to have a son." And Zacharias said, "Are you kidding me? How am I supposed to know if you're telling the truth?" And Gabriel said, "All right, you can't talk." And he wouldn't let him talk. He was speechless. Couldn't talk until the baby was born. And he got home and told Elizabeth, or he had to write it down, I'm sure, unless he acted it out. You know, maybe she told him all those things. You know, I'm sure that Mary and Elizabeth sat and talked about those things. Surely they did. Surely they did. Because the first thing you want to talk about when a woman finds out that she's expecting, you want to get on the phone, call all your family, call your sister. We've just found out this is going to go on the internet, so now the whole world's going to know that my sister-in-law, Beth's older sister, been trying for a baby for years, and she's expecting her first baby. And of course, we're all thrilled. Everybody's thrilled. And she called on Christmas Day, called and told us, well, what a Merry Christmas to you. Found out you're going to have a baby. You know, that's what you want to do. You want to call everybody. So Elizabeth and Mary, surely they're talking about these things. And yeah, Zacharias was speechless. He couldn't talk. And Mary said, boy, I wish that happened to Joseph. And, you know, maybe all these things. That was a joke. Sunday school all over again. Zacharias was speechless. And when Mary came, Elizabeth answered the door. She said, whoa. The baby kicked. The baby just jumped up and down and leaped inside of me. Must be because he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And there's Jesus right there in Mary's belly waiting to be born. And I'm sure Mary, there's Mary, remember. Use your imagination, it's all right. Sitting there holding the baby. Yeah. And your cousin John jumped, leaped, talking to that baby. Maybe pondering these things in her heart. Pondering these things, thinking about it. Maybe she thought about the birth of John the Baptist. Maybe she thought about the angel appearing to Joseph. Boy, that was something, wasn't it? Joseph and Mary espoused to be married. And wait a minute, now Mary is expecting a child? And Joseph knew he didn't have anything to do with it. And he could have, if he had wanted to, called the whole thing off and sent her away, made a public example of her. He could have done that if he wanted to, but Mary, maybe she thought, but he didn't. He's such a good man. He loves me and he loves the Lord so much, and look what he did. He could have. No one would have thought anything ill of him if he had done that, if he had put her away or made a public example of her. No, he just went along with it and put her away privately and kept her hidden. And, you know, really, let's just be honest. You've got a man and a wife, or not a wife yet, and she's expecting it. You know, it didn't look great. And, you know, the explanation was the Son of God. I'm you know, going to deliver the baby Jesus. And Joseph took all that into account, and he still loved Mary, and he didn't make a public example of her. And there Mary is, maybe, finally, when she gets to take a deep breath. Think about that. Boy, Joseph. What a great man. What a great man he is to do that. And he did it, you know, because the angel appeared to Joseph. Can you imagine that? An angel appearing to somebody in a dream. It's all right. Mary's going to have the baby, but it's the Son of God. It's okay. Just go along with it. Name him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. And there's Mary talking to baby Jesus. Are you going to save the people from your sins? You sure are. Talking to that baby, you know? I know I'm using my imagination. It doesn't say that in there. But that's how we talk to babies. Think about that. Jesus was a baby. Mary's holding him, pondering all these things in her heart. The angel appeared to Joseph. Maybe she thought about the trip to Bethlehem, you know? How far along was she? She was fixing to have the baby, you know, taking a long trip like that to Bethlehem on a donkey, rough roads. Just think about that. Maybe she hadn't thought about that. If Joseph takes me over one more bump, I'm going to have the baby right here. I don't know. You know, maybe she thought, it's all right to laugh a little bit. Are you all right? Everybody okay? You're making me nervous. I feel like I'm talking to myself. It's all right. But I wonder what she thought about on that trip, going all the way to Bethlehem to be taxed. Think about that. All a part of the foreknowledge of God. All of it a part of that. And she sat back maybe finally after everybody had left and nobody wanted to hold the baby anymore and she could finally have a chance to breathe. Maybe she sat back and pondered these things and thought, that was all a part of God's plan and it fulfilled what he had said hundreds of years before. Yeah. Holding that baby. Holding that baby. You're all a part of the plan. I know she didn't really understand maybe everything that was involved in it, but she was thinking about all these things. That trip to Bethlehem. And then I'm sure she was thinking about the night the angel appeared to her. That night the angel appeared to her, maybe 15, 16 years old, and an angel says, "Hail thou, highly favored." What? You're going to have a baby. What? And it's the Son of God. What? Yeah, think about that. Think about all that. I'm highly favored? Well, the angel said nothing was impossible with God. And I'm sure she sat back and thought, yeah, the angel told Joseph. I wonder if she called him daddy. The angel told Joseph to name you Jesus. And the angel told me to name you Jesus. So we named you Jesus. And we're going to name you Jesus because you're going to save your people from your sins. Now, he was fully God and fully man, all wrapped up in those swaddling clothes in her arms. And he laid aside his deity. That didn't mean he wasn't still God. That just meant he chose not to exercise all the great things that he could do. The deity things, the omniscience or the omnipresence and all that. I believe that he never stopped knowing that he was the Son of God, knowing that he was going to die on the cross for our sins. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think that when he was 12 and in the temple that all of a sudden it dawned on him that he was the Son of God. I don't believe that when he was a toddler playing out in the backyard, he thought, you know, something's going on here. I'm never getting hurt. I mean, I don't know what the deal is here. I haven't broke a bone. Maybe I'm the Son of God. I don't think that happened. I believe that he believed he was the Son of God and never stopped knowing because he was fully God and fully man. But there he is, the Son of Man, in Mary's arms. And she's thinking about all these things. And then our text, I'm surely she thought about those shepherds. There she is, maybe sitting in that chair, holding Jesus, pondering all these things. Thinks about those shepherds. Boy, those shepherds, they just came busting in there. We're looking for Jesus. We're looking for the Christ. We're looking for the Christ, the Savior of the world. Where is he? We're looking for him. They came in there, cheeks flushed because they'd been running in the night air, out of breath, eyes wide and their pupils dilated with excitement and fear and anticipation and all of that all wrapped up into one, busting down the door, looking for Jesus, looking for Christ, the Savior of the world. The angels had told them he was going to be there. They thought about that. One of them said, an angel, and then a multitude of angels showed up and they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we came here looking for him. He said, they brought us good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Isn't that amazing? And she's sitting there thinking about all that. So let's think about him. For unto all of you, unto me is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus is for everybody. He's for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is for you. He's for everybody. Rich, poor, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't matter. If you have everything in the world or you have nothing, Jesus is for you. He's for you. And maybe Mary sat back and thought about that. For unto you is born this day. That's what the shepherd said, the angel said. I mean, it's amazing. And then for unto you is born the Son of God. Somebody said, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. I don't know who said that. My mother said it the other day. I don't think she coined the phrase. Somebody said that. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. And Mary's holding them. Imagine that. Just imagine that. Imagine if you were the innkeeper or the innkeeper's wife, and the Son of God was just born in your stable. And there he is in a manger in swaddling clothes. And you see the baby and you want to hold him, but wait a minute, that's the Son of God. But everybody wants to hold the baby. Just imagine that. You're holding the baby Jesus in your arms. That's amazing. Fully God and fully man, yet without sin. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Again, Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, it was prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Hundreds of years. I wonder if the people in Bethlehem were looking for him. You know? I don't think they were. And the reason I don't think they were is because we're not looking for him. And he could come any minute. You know? We're not looking for him. Amen. And I know that we're not looking for him because I don't look for him like I should. We don't look for him. Those people in Bethlehem were no different than us. Remember, we're all just people. These are just people. This isn't just a story that somebody wrote. Mary was an actual 16-year-old young lady having the Son of God. And there she is. Everybody's gone to the house. I don't know if they stayed in the stable, but there she is, holding that baby, maybe holding the baby, using on my imagination, pondering all these things. For unto you, Jesus is for everybody, is born. This is the Son of God in my arms. This day in the city of David, a Savior. A Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I need to be saved. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I've been saved, but I needed to be saved. Let me clarify in case anybody wonders. I needed to be saved. I needed a Savior. I didn't need a good teacher. I didn't need a good example to follow. I didn't need somebody to tell me, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and use what's inside you. I didn't need any of that. I needed a Savior. And so did you. And so do they out there. Need a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah, the chosen one of God. Right there in her arms. Holding him. Rocking him to sleep. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, who's lost, you're on your way to hell, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, whose righteousnesses are as filthy rags, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto all of us, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't want a God that I can explain. I don't want a God. I don't want a God that I can figure out, or that I'm stronger than, or that's fickle. I want a Savior. I need a Savior. I want a God that when I need someone to turn to for refuge, I can turn to him. Because he's a Savior. He's a Savior. Not just some guy, not just a good teacher who does great tricks with fish and bread. No, a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So there Mary is. Maybe she's fallen asleep by now. She's probably tired. Sitting there, holding that baby. The angel said to name you Jesus. You're going to save your people. You're going to save me. Imagine that. Brother Paul just sang a song about this the other night. That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. It's the words in the song. Holding that little baby. You're going to save me because I'm your people. You're going to save me. Holding them. Pondering all these things. So what does that mean to us? Well, we should ponder all these things. We should ponder all these things. Think about all these things. Think about them. Jesus is for you, and he came to save you. Jesus is for all the world, rich, poor, everybody. It's for you. It's for you. Everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody who will listen to this on the internet, if any, everybody out there that we see tomorrow and the next day, everywhere we go, they need Jesus, for unto them is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And just as Mary was able to sit back and take a deep breath and ponder some things after the birth of Jesus, we can sit back after we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, a few days later, all the presents have been opened, just about, except for the one I forgot to give to my sister yesterday. And all the toys are put away, maybe, unless you're my kids, and they're all over the house. And everything is put down. You may have your Christmas tree still put up, I don't know. Ours is down. Down. All the Christmas things are being put away. No more Christmas songs on the radio. And we can sit back. And by the way, I love Christmas. I love it. I love the songs. I love celebrating Jesus' birth. I love that everywhere I go with work, everybody feels obligated to give me candy and food. Mama, I'm hungry. I love all of that. And I love seeing my kids' eyes light up when they open their presents. And when they open up their new whatever, their new speed racer racetrack that we got Sammy, that he can set up and shoot race cars all over the place. I love it. And hearing all of them go, oh, cool. I love it. I don't have to get anything. I like it, but I don't have to get anything. I just like seeing them open their stuff up. All of that's over now. All the presents have been opened. And we can sit back and go and ponder some things. Ponder some things. We've got time like Mary did. Now, we can't hold Jesus as a baby in our arms, but we can hold him in our heart. We can hold him close. We can draw nigh to him. He'll draw nigh to us. He'll be with us. We can hold on to him and think about all these things, how he came into this world to save us from our sins. He's a Savior. We can hold him. We had a Christmas party that we went to on Christmas Eve. Just last Wednesday night, a man that I used to work with invited us over, and so all of us went, the six of us. We had a good time, and all the way there and all the way back, we looked at Christmas lights. And if you've ever been in a car at night during Christmas time with my children, you know it. Some of you have. Christmas lights, Daddy, Christmas lights, Christmas lights. Everywhere we go, Christmas lights. Oh, there, Daddy, I see Christmas lights. No, that's the red light, the stoplight. But that one's green and that one's red. It's Christmas lights. No, no. They have Christmas tree lights up now. It's not Christmas time. They love Christmas lights. And all the way to the Christmas party and all the way back, I could hear him in the back of the van saying, oh, look. That one has the baby Jesus. There's the baby Jesus. Look, there's Jesus in the manger all the way there. But some houses we go by, I'd hear one of them say, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Daddy, they don't have Jesus. So, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? In your house, in your home. Where's Jesus in your life? Where is he? When people drive by, so to speak, Is he easy to see? Or do you keep him? Are you holding him out here? Are you holding him close? Where is he? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I say this morning that we need to keep all these things and ponder them in our heart. Hold Jesus close. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all you've done. Most of all, Lord, thank you for the gift of eternal life, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who didn't come just to be a baby. Lord, we know that he came to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has never trusted Christ, Lord, maybe they sat through Sunday school, through the Sunday school lesson on the gospel, and they've heard this message from your word about how you came into the world to save us. Lord, I pray that if they're here and they don't know you as Savior, I pray that today will be the day they get saved. That they'll come forward to the altar and let someone take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning who is saved and you don't have the proper place in their lives, Lord, I pray that you'll stir them and work in their hearts now. And Lord, move them forward, and Lord, help them to hold you close. Lord, help me to hold you close. God, I want you to have the right place in my life. Lord, I pray for each one here that will keep all these things and ponder them in our hearts. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand with me this morning? Brother Paul's going to sing a hymn.